From what I understood, he accepted Christ over there on Pacheco, and then years on down the road, he felt that that was never a true, a true acceptance of his son, because he claimed that years on down the road, he finally kept Christ as personal savior, and he was going through the motions and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, that happens to people. I'll tell you what I found out in my life after a lifetime of study and everything. After my grandmother was killed in 1961, I went to church. And I went there. I was grieving so badly after she was saved. She was my whole world. My grandmother raised me. I had nobody left in the world. And I was just grieving. I was alone. And I was young. And it was just killing me. And I went to church. And I went forward in a little Pentecostal church and asked God to save me. I had the Holy Spirit come in my life right then. I knew I did right then. I didn't know anything about the Bible. They did not preach the Bible. They did not teach. All they did was tell about Bible stories. No doctrine or anything at all, as far as any sound doctrine at all. There was nothing there.
So
all emotion.
Yeah, but...
But I went through... Let me tell you what happened in my life, though. I fell away from church altogether. I went out when I was young, teenager, and started drinking and stuff and running around with other ones. Not like they did, but I did. I did drink. But I never was happy.
Yeah.
They were having a lot of fun, and I wasn't having any fun doing it. And I always felt something in my heart
pulling
me to God. Then I said, I was so distraught with my life and everything at that time, I finally said, well, I don't think there is God. I don't think so, or he would show himself to me, because I want to serve God. And even when I was real young like that, when I went up, I used to see that preacher get up there and preach, and someone, how in the world anybody gets up there and preaches like that all that time? I felt like God wanted me to do that.
But was the conversion real the first time you accepted it?
Yes.
It was real.
It was real. But I didn't understand enough about the Word of God to even understand. God dealt with me all my life after that. He dealt with me all my life. Finally, I thought I was saved in 1969 again. I thought it was for the first time. And because then I really changed my life and everything else. But then I looked over my life. I don't know how long ago. Maybe 8 or 9 years ago. And I realized that I was saved the first time I went up, because I did what God wanted me to do.
But can I ask you a question? When you were saved the first time, how old were you?
About 13, 12 years old.
Did you get a conversion as far as a pattern to try to watch and try to...
I wanted to pray. I prayed to God all the time. I had him in every part of my life.
But how can...
I had no... The problem is I had no encouragement from my family at all. Zero. All they were was a bunch of drunks.
Yeah.
And heathens, you know. I mean, they just was...
So anybody that comes to church for years and they thought they...
Maybe not.
They accept Jesus Christ, but wouldn't they... Then they wouldn't be showing any kind of fruits in, right? There would be no conversion.
A lot of people...
They don't have a new birth.
That's right. Some are born again, some are not.
Now, I've heard some people say they could probably be going through an emotional thing.
Yes. I know now, after all these years, that I was saved back when I was young. I went away from the Lord. I had no encouragement whatsoever. I never had any encouragement in my life.
Remember that church over at Bethel on Maine?
Yes.
That's the church that I went to, that Irene invited me to go.
Yeah.
A month ago, where she was going there. And they were showing that three-part series movie, The Thief of the Night, and I kind of got in the middle of that. And when I seen that movie, it scared the heck out of me.
Yeah.
Well, I accepted the Lord that night, and instantly, I was a big doper or drunk and, you know, just the womanizer. Eventually, when I accept the Lord, man, he just started doing some remarkable changes in my life. And it just kept...
But you had somebody to help you, encourage you. You had Irene.
Yeah,
you
had the church.
I had nobody.
Yeah, the church was there to kind of encourage me, help me. You know,
I didn't have anybody. Long.
And I didn't give up. I didn't give up the weed and drinking right away because I've been doing it all my life. Mm-hmm. But when I went back and I tried it, God, I felt terrible. I mean, I didn't get that same feeling that I used to get when I was in the world.
First to get your
I felt terrible when I. You know, the hardest thing for me was cussing. I struggled with that for almost a year after I accepted Christ because I was doing it so naturally because I was a baby pretty much.
Yeah.
And it was hard. I had to really depend on God to help me quit doing that. And
you were renewing your mind.
Yeah, there you go.
The renewing of your mind.
I had to literally make up cue cards, put them on my sun visor to carry in my pocket, to put on my locker, just to remind me not to cuss. I couldn't control it. It was hard. But in time, with God's help, he helped me to get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, some people don't have all of those bad habits when they're saved. Some people do. I was saved when I was young. I had absolutely nothing to have drawn me to God at all in my life. Nothing. If my grandmother took me to church a little bit,
he just said something that my kid asked me, and I couldn't. I didn't even know the answer, but it's just something different. It just kind of in the 1,000-year millennium, when we're put back on this earth, what is the lifespan for us that accepted Christ, that are raptured and are brought back?
The lifespan?
Yeah, physically.
Well, we're saved. I mean,
well, I know that. But what I'm saying, we're put back here for 1,000 years. How long will we be there?
Hey, you're not supposed to be up here yet.
Well, I have a broken foot. I came up here.
Broken foot? I got two broken foot. Now I'm going to give a Bible.
And I look for you down there. I'm going to pat you on the shoulder and say, I was coming up, but I didn't see you.
I was up here.
Yeah, I know you were. They said you were up here.
Yeah,
so
you're
fine. What?
You think we're supposed to be down there?
Yeah. I was hurting so bad that I thought I'd get up here and...
What happened?
Well, the horse is stepped on my feet, and I dropped a piece of wood on it, and another horse stepped on it, and then another horse stepped on it. And one of the bones of my foot is broken like that, and it's down like this, and it's rubbing against the nerve. I'm going to have to go to the doctor again, because I... I'm having a terrible time with it.
What about a cat on it?
I don't know what they're doing. They may have to go in there and operate on it because it's been broken.
Yeah, I broke mine about a year and a half ago.
No, your ankle.
Yeah, about 2 years ago. I broke it. They x-rayed his eye up and I broke his bad spring. I went to work about a week. They called me up. You know what? They had some specialists look at the x-ray. Your foot's broken. You need to come in.
Yeah.
No, man. Forget it. I've been working. I tried to boot up.
Those that are saved, we're going to be raptured. We're going to be changed. We're going to live forever. The bodies we have are eternal bodies. The people on the earth at that time that are living and going on, I think they're going to live for a whole 1,000 years. You know, a woman is capable of having 1,000 children. I think some of them will.
And I was told, I'm not sure if I can kind of vaguely remember years ago at a Bible study sitting in the group that you're given up to the age of 100 to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
And some people say 120, like Noah, you know, he preached for 120 years, and then you're cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It may be like that. I've heard all kinds of things like that. I don't, you know, it doesn't really... specifically say a whole lot about that. You know, the millennial reign It doesn't say a lot about it in the Bible, but it's specific about it. It says it's going to be. It says who's going to be there. Remember, look on your charts. If I can find my chart, I know I have one. The millennial reign is there. Now, we live in the church age today, don't we? The Lord, He came into this world. He called His assembly out. And He taught it for 3.5 years or so during His ministry. He told that church that He would be with it until the end of this age. It would not fail. And it wouldn't fail not because of Him, because of them, but because of Him, the promise. Okay? And we're saved, and we're not saved because we're perfect after we're saved, but we're saved because of the promise of God, His covenant He makes with us. And the Bible, everybody, even Calvinists, Presbyterians, look and they see the old covenant and the new covenant, the old contract and the new contract. They don't believe what we're teaching here in this Bible and God's plan of the ages. They just think there's two different times and periods, and that's all. But there's several different time periods in the Bible. That's what we're looking at here. But in the Old Testament, the old covenant, the old contract, God dealt with man in one way, and then in the new contract, He dealt with man in another way, under a new contract. And they see that, and they see that they think that at this period of time, that the church is Israel. The church is not Israel. Okay? Israel, we were talking earlier, and Israel, you asked me in the book of Hebrews, how that they had tasted of the good word of God and all this. Israel was the administrator of God's kingdom. Look back under the law. See that? Back there on the left side of that cross. They were under the law. But Israel was the administrator of God's kingdom. Here's the cross right here. Here's Israel. Israel was the administrator of God's kingdom. They were the earthly bosses. They were the earthly expression of that kingdom. All the time, throughout all ages, God has had a kingdom. Did you know that? What is kingdom? What is a kingdom? It's a realm that a ruler rules over. Okay? Now, in Adam's time, who was the administrator of God's kingdom on this earth?
Adam.
All right? And let's go back even further. In Lucifer's time, when Lucifer was really Lucifer, instead of Satan, who was the administrator of God's physical kingdom during his time? Lucifer was the administrator. He was the steward of God's kingdom during that time and eternity past. Okay? He failed. He failed, didn't he? Alright? He failed. So, God took his administration and gave it to another. Who was the another? Adam. Alright? And then Adam was the administrator of God's physical kingdom on earth. God has a kingdom now. He does have a kingdom. He's always had a kingdom. We go down through there, we see Abraham was the administrator of God's kingdom when he was on the earth. Moses was the administrator of God's kingdom when he was on the earth. But he gave it to more than Moses. He gave it to a nation because of the Abrahamic promise. Okay? Israel was the administrator of God's kingdom on this earth.
I got to ask the question, why did God give Israel his law and his kingdom, you know, what you're saying? Why did he give those? Why did he choose those people? You know,
because he wanted to.
Yeah. Sorry. Because he was around at the time that
no.
He knew there was a God.
God, we hear so much today from the Calvinists. We hear about the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. What does the sovereignty of God mean? He's the boss. He is the boss. But I'm going to tell you something now you're not going to hear very often today. God created man in His image. He said He created him in His shadow casting likeness. Okay? He cast him, he created him in His blood flowing likeness, like He would be in the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? He created him in His intellectual image. He could think. He could think. He could think and he could reason. And he could develop like God. And he created him in his sovereign image. Make a choice. Now, don't go too far with that. Okay? We aren't Armenians, you know, that make our choice of salvation and keep our salvation and all that. We believe in the security of the believer because of God's final and complete work of grace, okay, in our lives. But God made man in His sovereign image. He could make a choice too. He made a choice. You make a choice in your life when you're saved, and you make a choice in your life when you serve God. You do. You make choices. You make decisions. You know who, even in this little old, remember God, Bill Bright's four spiritual laws, and then you have this guy sitting on the throne. Who is this? Is this you? Or is it Jesus and all of that? You don't remember this little thing? You don't remember that. Who's on the throne? Are you on the throne? Or is Jesus on the throne in your life? Well, you're sovereign. You can put either one of them on the throne. You know that? Because it's your life. It's going to be your consequences too. You're going to suffer the consequences. But either you can put yourself or you can put Jesus on the throne of your life. Okay? That's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice. All right? Israel had the administration. Read that to me in the book of Hebrews again. Are you still there somewhere?
Yeah, right here.
Okay, read that.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God, fresh, and put Him to no shame.
The letter of the Hebrews was written by I don't know whom. But it was God's last message to Israel.
They say it was probably,
I don't know. It could have been Apollos. It could have been Barnabas. I don't know. It could have been Luke that wrote that book. That book is a mystery. I translated that book and it just absolutely just astonished me. There is not one quotation from the Hebrew Scriptures in that book. Did you know that? Not one quotation out of the Hebrew Bible. It's all out of the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament. It's all out of there. It's nothing out of the Hebrew Bible. But it's the last message of God to the Hebrews. And it's inspired of God. But that said there, that Israel is cut off. A lot of people try to take that scripture and say that you can be saved and then lost. And that once you've been saved and lost, then you can never be saved again.
So his question was, can Israel still be saved?
No. No, he asked me, how does he answer somebody that come to him with that scripture? Now look, now Israel was God's administrators in his kingdom, wasn't it? Was Adam ever clothed with light again after he disobeyed God?
Yes,
he was. Wait a minute. After Adam disobeyed God, he was naked. He was not clothed with light and righteousness like When God, I haven't taught you this before. This is a brand new life. God clothed Adam and Eve before they were clothed with those garments. He clothed them in righteousness and purity. They were clothed. like an ambience around them. This light. Yes, brother.
And did he close them afterwards?
Yes, he did. He closed them afterwards, but in a different way. But with a less beautiful clothing. He clothed them and they failed him. Then he had to reclothe them with something different. They were, Adam and Eve were actually in two different dispensations of his kingdom in all reality. And if you want to really split that down, if you want to look at it, when he first clothed them and he first put them on the earth, they were sinless and without sin and everything. They were clothed in righteousness. They were clothed with glory. He walked with God, with Jehovah in the garden. Now, to walk with Jehovah in the garden, you've got to be like him, don't you? Or something else is going to happen to you. What happened to Moses? See? Oh, yeah. It's the power and glory of God. Adam had it.
Well, just like
Boy, think about it. Adam had it.
You mean like the Shekinah
glory? Yes.
Like
he was clothed with the Shekinah glory of God. But he threw it away. Do you see why Adam was so responsible to that sin? Okay. God reclothed him. But the administration changed, didn't it? Something about the administration changed. He was never had the glory that he had before.
But Adam didn't do what Lucifer said. He wanted to be king.
He wanted to be like God.
Yeah, he wanted to be like God. Adam didn't say that. He just disobeyed him. And he still
Eve did. Eve wanted to be like God. Didn't she?
Yeah.
You'll know like if... Well, they already knew.
But he agreed with her by participating in the ritual.
Yes, he did. They got caught, and they were naked without that glory. They were naked without that glory. Now, you're not going to read this to a whole lot. Eric Sauer talks about it. J. Lewis Guthrie. Travis Hubbard talked about this. He was my teacher. And Carl Farrar, very few people I've ever heard, went into the Scriptures far enough to really get into that. If you read Eric Sauer, his works. You know, he wrote a lot of books. He was a German writer. Tremendous thinker. You'll get into that glory that Adam was clothed with. Okay? Anyway, let's get to Israel now. Down to this question and answer it just a little bit better for you. Israel was the administrator of God's kingdom on this earth. Okay? But once they failed God, once the administration changed, it was over with. No more. They could not. God sent His Son one time. He sent His Son one time. God, the God of glory, came to earth one time. That's all He's going to come here as a sacrificial lamb. He's not going to do it twice. He came here, Israel, said, "Oh, great, here's our king. Let's put him on the throne. Let's make the whole world bow down to him." Is that what they did? No, they rejected the king. Who was on the throne? Who had bought the king's the throne? The Herod family. Herod was on Jesus' throne. Herod shouldn't have been there. Jesus shouldn't have been on there. But anyway, when Jesus came to Israel, they rejected the Messiah. Then they rejected the Messiah. But they had the administration of God's kingdom on the earth. But God said He cut them off. And He grafted in, by the seed of Abraham, a new people. Gentiles. Heathens. Heathens. You know what? Everybody in this room is a heathen. Because we're not a Jew. If you weren't a Jew, you were a heathen. You're not a Jew, are you?
Why,
we're
Gentiles?
Yeah, we're all Gentiles. All of us. We're not Jews. We're Gentiles. You're either Jew or Gentile. And if you're a Gentile, you're a heathen. So we were all heathens. But because we're grafted in, and we're grafted in, how? Ruth the Moabitess and Rahab the harlot. We're in the lineage of Jesus Christ. We were grafted in. Grafted in, but Israel was cut off, period. And there was a new administrator in God's kingdom, the prophet.
on, from the cross on. A lot of people start the church on the day of Pentecost. The church is already in existence. They want to teach that, that's fine. Well, I'm going to drive by them, but the Lord called his church out when he was here on the earth. He gave them the Lord's Supper in the upper room. He gave them the keys to the kingdom. Wasn't Peter he was giving them to. He was giving them to the church, the keys to the kingdom. All right? The keys, what does that mean, keys? When you give somebody the keys to the city, you what?
The door.
You give them the door. Actually, you make them a mayor for a day a lot of times. That means you're the boss, the administrator of the city. They were the administrator of God's kingdom. He gave them the keys. Israel rejected. They thought the Messiah. Last Wednesday night, I read Pontius Pilate's report 2. Now, this is in history. This is the document. Were you, any of you here at all? No? Nobody? I read Pontius Pilate's report to Caesar. Why, and the life of Jesus Christ, and why that he had to allow the Jews to crucify him. Boy, it's a beautiful, beautiful letter. I believe that came out of the Arco volume.
I got one of those things.
I gave that to you, didn't I?
No, I bought it.
Oh, did you?
I bought it somewhere. I remember years and years ago, I heard you talking about one of the tapes. I said, I got that book.
Yeah.
And I looked for it, and it's right there.
Well, I gave a lot of them away. I must have given at least 50 of them away.
I bought it. I don't know where I bought it. I might have bought it from you. I went down south about it.
Yeah. Anyway, they had them at Brand Bookstore. I ordered about 50 of them there one time. I gave a lot of them away, and a lot of people bought them. But it's historical documents.
Yeah, it is.
But it talked about Jesus. It talked about those Pharisees in there. He talked about those Pharisees. Jesus scalded them from the beginning of his ministry until they crucified him on the cross.
Have you been to church yet?
No.
No, because they put on the skit. Nicodemus.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They talked almost exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, about how they rejected.
Yeah. Anyway, they rejected God's kingdom. They threw away their administration. God turned away from them. And he called out his church. You know something? We deal with emergency planning all the time. God doesn't. He always knows the beginning from the end, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You don't ever catch God off guard. Not one time. We have emergency planning, emergency procedures in all of our life, but God doesn't. He knows the end from the beginning. That's why he could say what he was going to do here during this period of time. Well, here we live in this church age. Now, the church is the administrator of God's kingdom, his churches. All right, that are in this age. When this age is over, God says that we're not going to fail as a church because he's not going to allow us to fail. Israel failed, but we're not going to fail. We're going to preach the gospel until the Lord comes back.
But see, we got the total package now already. See, they were looking for a Messiah.
They were looking toward the cross.
Yeah.
But you know what? Every person in Israel, when he was saved, he was born again. Everybody did. Everybody in Israel was saved and born again, if they were saved at all. When Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Right.
You're a teacher in Israel and you don't know what being born again is?
Right.
He said, you're supposed to. If you believed what the Bible says, you would be born again. And they did. They were born again. They know what that was. They knew what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was. David prayed that God would not remove his spirit from him. They knew what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit back then. They were born of the Spirit. All of this, there's only one way of salvation. All the way from Adam, all the way through the church age. There hasn't been 40 different kinds. There's only one kind. Okay? They were saved just like we're saved. Okay? The same way. When Jesus came on this earth, there was a lot of people going to church in Israel, to synagogue. Okay?
They had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And why did Jesus say up in the upper room that it was expedient for me to leave so that the comfort can come?
The administrator. the reason why we don't fail today is because the administrator of God's kingdom lives in his churches. It's different. When did the glory of Israel, when did the administrator, the administration of the Holy Spirit in Israel leave? It left the temple, didn't it? Remember. The glory departed. Ichabod. Remember that? The glory departed. Who was there? The Shekinah glory of God. In all the churches today, their true New Testament churches, the Shekinah glory of God is here. He is. Today. You see that in His power, how He works in His churches and in the people's lives. That power. And we talked about how God worked the power and how He worked in your life. All right. He worked in their lives back then. If they were born again. But how many people were saved in Jesus' life that were administrators in Israel's kingdom? You can name a half a dozen maybe. Nicodemus. Joseph of Arimathea. Why Peter and Paul, well, Paul was, but Peter and John and those, they were his peasants, basically. How many Pharisees were saved? Not very many. How many high priests were saved? How many even knew God? Didn't know Him, God. Okay, didn't even know Him. Weren't related to Him at all. But He came to them, didn't He? If the Lord came to a lot of churches in the land, they wouldn't know Him either.
Okay, do you know when the veil ripped?
The veil?
Uh-huh.
That, they were allowed to be fully. That's right. Administration changed. Absolutely abrupt.
That's what it took place.
Is that what you're saying?
That was at the cross, yes. That, I mean, there the kingdom was taken away from them completely. I mean, they were guillotined by God.
They were cut off.
They were cut off.
That's what it happened. That's what it came out.
But the Lord already had a people in place, didn't He?
Right. Yeah, church, yeah.
That's right. He already had the... I mean, He didn't have to stumble around and figure out what He was going to do. He had already called it out. Already set them up. And He says, wait for Me on the day of Pentecost and I will empower you with the administration. In the tabernacle in the Old Testament. The tabernacle in the Old Testament. God showed Moses, just a minute, Levi, I'll get you. God showed Moses how to build that tabernacle. They built that tabernacle and put it up out there. And what did God do to that tabernacle? He took possession of it. He took possession of it and just engulfed it with His Holy Spirit. With like a flame of fire. And a cloud in the daytime.
Right.
When God had Solomon build that temple, after that temple was built, it was together. All right? Together. The tabernacle was together and it was built. When the temple was built, the glory of God came and just literally covered that temple area where the priest could not even administrate. When the Lord told His church to meet Him on the day of Pentecost, He would, you meet there, you pray, you do this. On the day of Pentecost, that church was there. It was there already. He had already called it out. It already was built. It's like in the Old Testament. And God took possession. He took possession of that temple, tabernacle. What does God call the church today? He calls it in Greek, naos. That's His dwelling place today. His dwelling place. The dwelling place of God. He was already built. He was already there. He was already in place. And He took possession of it.
In the church age.
Yeah. All right. It happened. It was there, Brother Levi.
Yeah, I was just thinking too, because you know, like
This is what he called his church, the 12 disciples. They were saved individually.
They were already saved. Yes.
And then when the day of Pentecost, that's when the power of the Holy Spirit came up on.
He took possession of his church. It was already in existence. He gave it the Lord's Supper. They had a treasurer. They carried out business. They had a limited commission.
Right.
Remember one time. They went out. And they were doing the church was in action. But he told them now, I'm going to die for you. They didn't understand it at all. He died for them. Israel understood it. They didn't want him to be raised, did they? If the disciples did not understand the resurrection. But the Jews understood the resurrection. Did you know that? The Jews came to Pilate and said, Pilate, give us some soldiers to guard the tomb. So they'll say, he's going to say he's going to raise from the dead. The disciples weren't expecting it, were they?
No,
they weren't expecting it at all. But who was expecting it? The administrators of God's kingdom. They knew. They knew exactly what was going to happen. They weren't in the dark. They had investigated Christ's whole life. They knew everything from the time he was born in Bethlehem to when he lived in Nazareth, when he was down in Egypt, when he went down there to hide, and when during his ministry. They dogged him like hounds on an animal's trail, a victim's trail. They dogged him. And they knew exactly who he was. Exactly. There was no guessing about it. But they weren't saved. There was hardly a saved man among them, and the saved men among them wouldn't beg for Jesus' body. Joseph and Nicodemus. There's your representative of Israel. There's your remnant. All that was there was nothing. And they were part of the kingdom. They were administrators in the new kingdom, weren't they? All right. God empowered them. God gave them the power to go out and preach the gospel. And the churches are still preaching the gospel today. All right? Anyway, the administration of the kingdom during all this period of time. Then God's going to change it at the end. God is going to turn back to Israel. God said that Israel would glorify Him. Didn't He?
Yeah.
At the end of this church period, a lot of people teach different from this. I don't care. That's pretty cool. They really want to. This is what I believe.
Okay, bro.
At the end of this church age begins a tribulation period.
Is Israel going to be starting up the sacrifices again, all that stuff? Are they going to be doing
evidently? Evidently.
Back to the old.
Evidently, they will. They're going to have a temple. They're going to have a temple. And the Antichrist himself, the Antiochus Epiphanes was a type of the Antichrist to come. What did Antiochus Epiphanes do?
I don't know.
He came in conquering that land. He came into the land of Israel. He went into the temple. And pigs are profane.
Oh, okay, I heard. Yeah.
And he offered hogs on the swine on the altar of sacrifice on Mount Moriah. What you call blasphemy.
Right.
He blasphemed. He destroyed that place. I mean, he devastated those people. Slaughtered them. Started sacrificing them on the sacrificial people. Sacrificing the priests and everything. Just chopping them up. And offering them up. Their blood ran down for half a mile, I said. All of that thing. The people that he sacrificed. Well, anyway, God's going to come back to Israel, but He started already. He's doing that. The regathering of Israel began, I believe, officially May the 14th, 1948. That's when Israel became a nation again. Many people, if you read old Bible studies and stuff down 100 years ago, before 1948, majority of people believe that Israel would never become a nation again and that the church was Israel, spiritual Israel. Because people just didn't believe that God could make a nation out of that people again after them being gone for 2,000 years. Brother Levy.
I was going to ask you too, when they come to start doing sacrifices, don't they have to get like a the red heifers.
The ashes of the red heifer have to be found. Now, if you look in the book of 2 Maccabees, I think it's the second chapter, Israel knows where the Ark of the Covenant is and all that stuff. They know where what happened to it. It's not a mystery of what happened to it.
The book of Maccabees is in the Bible?
It's in the Old Testament. It's what they call the Apocrypha.
Okay, is that in the Catholic Bible?
Yes, it is. It's in the Catholic Bible. And it was supposed to be printed in all King James Version. The Church of England, when they had the King James Version printed, it was never supposed to be printed without the Apocrypha. Okay? If you printed the King James Bible without the Apocrypha, you were going to be beheaded or killed or fined or something. But the second Maccabees, now I don't believe it. Personally, I don't think the books are inspired. You know, the book of Enoch and Bel and the Dragon and all that. But historically, first and second Maccabees, the Jews believe it to be historically accurate. And in 2 Maccabees, the second chapter, it tells you that Jeremiah the prophet took the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle and all the furnishings of the tabernacle and went over to the mountain where God buried Moses and buried them in a cave. And he said that this will be hidden until Israel is called back and God calls them and they will be born again, the nation will be born again, and they will find that Ark of the Covenant and everything, that God will send a man to find it. And it was hid, it was covered up, many people were killed, they looked for this thing and everything, but they never found it. They made facsimiles of it, of what it was before, but they never had the original one. And the original one there is where Jeremiah hid it. Okay, it's not down in Egypt, it's not... The Bible, I mean, not the Bible, but Maccabees says plainly where it is hid. Jeremiah hid that Ark of the Covenant. And sometime they're going to find it. And it said it wouldn't be found until God gathers again Israel. Israel is starting to be gathered. And we're still under this administration of the kingdom here, though, aren't we? Brother?
I seen a program on TV where they showed that they say something was Ethiopia. And
yes.
Ethiopians worship like they do in Israel.
Yes. Well.
Ethiopians.
Well, you have to remember Bible history. Who was the queen that came up from Ethiopia to see Jesus?
The Queen of Sheba.
Yeah, the Queen of Sheba. All right. The Queen of Sheba came up there. From the original language, it says that she got the desire of her heart, which was a child, by Solomon. You go down there and you'll find a black Jewish people. That they're Solomon's descendants. Haile Selassie was a direct descendant of Solomon, he said. All right. These people are descendants of Solomon. They're black Jews. Okay? That Jewish blood is there. And they had an Ark of the Covenant down there just like they had in Israel. They had a worship. They worshiped service and everything just like Solomon had up there. The Queen of Sheba went down there and started the whole thing. And that's what's down in Ethiopia.
That's how many David Jr. said he was Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a proselyte.
Yeah.
He was a proselyte.
Yeah.
Anyway, does that help me a little bit? No. Okay.
Well, you mentioned the book of Enoch.
Yes.
Stuff like that. Isn't that in the Catholic Bible also?
Yes.
Yeah,
because
they have.
Yeah, the book of Enoch.
Well,
the Apocrypha.
Yeah, there's
things in there that you can study and you can see. Some of it is really outlandish. But we haven't had a textual criticism of the Apocrypha like we have the New Testament and the Old Testament. Bruce Metzger really and Westcott and Hort did a wonderful textual criticism of the New Testament. There's a lot of things that were in the New Testament that weren't there originally either, that were added. Well, some of those things are probably in the Apocrypha. But we have never done a textual criticism of that. Okay, simple as that.
Well, you know, there's another question. If we don't have that in King James, how they said all words is inspired by the Word of God. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, there may be other books that we don't have in the New Testament, but I guarantee you we've got enough of it. God made sure we have enough of it to study and know and have it. That is inspired.
Yeah, it's not you, but this book, this is supposed to be accurate. You know, I mean, what we have now.
Well, in the original, the only place that the scriptures are inspired are from the original languages. If you want to read the inspired word, learn how to read Hebrew and Greek.
Yeah, that's right.
Because anything else is translation. It's a translation. And that's what you call imperfect.
Yeah,
and I guarantee you the King James was imperfect because the Church of England made that one. And they don't believe.
Did they add that scripture then about this is perfect? This is the perfect word of God. Is that just right.
No, this is the perfect word of God. It is perfect. It is that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. That the man of God may be not perfect, but mature, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works. The word of God is pure. It is perfect and everything. Even the statement of this church, when they make a statement in any intellectually founded church, when they make a statement, it's not that we are founding our word on the King James or the New American Standard. This week, as I deal with the Attorney General and all the type of things I have to do this week too, in your prayers and hopefully that Dakota will be saved too during this week's time.
Brother Art,
you know, Art got hold of me this morning, yeah. And remember him in your prayers too.
Yeah,
he's gonna call me this afternoon, and I'm gonna help him with some scriptures. He's gonna be doing the funeral, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
And remember, that's hard.
Did he say how it happened?
It was a killing.
A murder.
Yeah, a murder.
A murder?
Yeah. They, you know, I think gang deal over there at Raleigh's.
That was his son?
That was his stepson. That was his stepson.
They said his name, but they didn't say it. Right.
David Lee, they said David something else, and one time I heard David, and then another last name, and then Leo. But it didn't click because they kept calling him by a different last name.
I thought now than
out Raleigh's.
Yeah.
Thursday
night. Bad area.
Yeah, it's a bad area. We lived there.
My niece had a car bus. My son jumped over the fence Friday and caught the person who was doing it. And one of the tenants that lived in the complex there, it's going to cause a lot of conflict there because there's three families of his family there, and he might rebel even against me and my son and a few of my relatives that live on there because they busted up the car, just practically tore the car up, get a stereo system out of it.
Was he involved in gangs and stuff like that?
I have no idea.
We call the sheriffs and all that. It's still to see if somebody did it at 5:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
Well, you know how the gangs are. To go up in the gangs, you have to kill somebody or do a drive-by or something. That's part of, and that's probably, this is probably somebody's initiation or something.
They arrested somebody, I think.
Yeah. But, you know, there's always victims to that. Of course, they never. I went up to Kern General one of the times when my daughter, I had to take her to Kern General to be, you know, because of the molestation. And I was up there, and there were people in there all night long, people getting shot, and there were families, you know, but most of them are gang people, you know. But it was all night long I stayed up there that night, and till 6 o'clock in the morning. I took her up there in the evening. And
I was right in the middle of all that area.
Yeah.
Was he just in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Yeah,
you know,
as far as I know.
He was a good kid, or I remember wrong years ago. Years ago.
Where do you live, Lisa Libby?
Haley.
Haley?
That's right in the middle. We hear children all the time.
Yeah.
That's the regular thing.
Well, that's the last days, you know. That's how we know we're living in the last days, too. Anyway, let's have a word of prayer this morning. Remember him. Please remember Dakota. And Brother Levy, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes.